Hello and welcome to the wild wormhole where, much like the card, you never know what you're gonna get. I'm your host, D-House, here with Mike Rudin. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, it's awesome. How are you?
So good. Are we gonna talk about what happened in our most previous episode?
Nope. I don't think so.
No, we're going to talk about it. So here's the deal. So a week ago, I'm sitting with my new co-host, Jim Braden, a.k.a. Jay Bray. Great guy. And we record an episode and release it. And, you know, it's a good episode. A few days later, I think it's Friday. So I think released on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think released on Wednesday. It's Friday. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hop on Anchor. And I'm going to check how it's doing.
Check the
stats. See if anyone's actually listening to this trash. And I open Anchor, and there's something on there that says, "Hi, D-House." And I'm like, well, that's weird. Why would Anchor say, "Hello, D-House"? That doesn't make any sense. And in my confusion, I open up my podcast app on my iPhone, and sure enough, there's a brand new Wild Wormhole episode. That did not include me, and it did not include Jim, but it was you and our trash friend, Jay. So,
yeah, that happened.
Well done.
Thank you. It was a spur of the moment troll, but we felt it needed to happen.
I do respect you said before the episode, it felt very wormhole for you guys to just pop in and throw a random episode in there, because that's what a wormhole would do.
That's right.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Random
Mike
and Jay.
You might get two episodes a week.
Yeah. Just like out of nowhere, past 6 months, you haven't heard a word from us, and boom.
My favorite part, because if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it, people. But Jay got some Worlds Collide decks, and they were sort of spoiling and talking about some cards in there. But my favorite part was
when you guys
would talk about the cards from Age of Ascension, and you'd be like, "Oh, this card is really cool, like a little rap school." And I'm like, "Oh,
hey, it's brand new to us. It's as if the set is twice as big as a normal set."
I know, but it's kind of like, this is why you don't give the keys of the car to your 13-year-old.
Children.
You
know,
you need an adult around to stop comments like that. But it's fine.
I mean, the best part of the whole day that we posted it was just waiting for you to like learn that it was up. Like Jay,
it took a while too.
It took a while. Jay was texting me throughout the day, like, "I can't believe DS hasn't seen it yet." Like. And I was so worried that he was gonna say something, but I'm glad that he kept the secret until in our group chat you were just like, "What the heck, guys?" in all caps.
Yeah,
it was. Very satisfying.
I could tell Jacob texting like, "So D-House, what you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know, man. I'm just working, or I'm just, what do you want?" Classic wormhole shenanigans back in business. I also loved on Sanctimonious, because I got you jumped into the Discord there, and
yeah, you got me saying like,
yeah, and they were like, maybe instead of doing the rebel spy thing, as is your name on Discord, you should maybe stop the self-sabotage of your own podcast. Like, that's funny. I like that. But anyways, so Jim's not on and Jay's not on, but you and I are on, and I kind of like the, you know, wormhole. Like, again, you don't know which host you're going to get. You're just going to get two guys, or maybe three, maybe four. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe one. maybe Jay will do a solo podcast.
Oh my God. don't encourage that.
I don't even know what that would be. All right. Well, let's get into some Keyforge. We kind of alluded to it, but we want to talk a little bit about, you know, you had some crazy life stuff, and you moved across the country. And by that, I mean, you moved across California, which is basically its own country.
Yeah, basically.
And so amongst that, we did meet up in California randomly when I was out there and played a bunch of Keyforge at Starbucks. But, besides that, I don't think you were playing a ton of games in the last few months, but recently you caught the bug again.
I did. Yeah, that time that we played together, I think that was probably 2 months ago now at this point. That was the only time I have played the game since Age of Ascension came out. So I was not active in KeyForge at all, not really following it that much, and you know, still kind of part of the Facebook group, still part of Discord, but not really paying too much attention. And then I moved, and so now I have a bunch more free time, and you know, the best thing to do when you enter a new city is go to the local game store and see what's going on. So I figured, you know, time to get back into some games, and KeyForge seemed like the right time to get back into KeyForge. The new set looks awesome. All the organized play stuff seems really cool. Like, FFG is obviously putting a lot of, you know, time and effort and thought into what they're doing for this game and trying to make it as successful as they can. I think they're doing a really good job. So, yeah. Very excited about the game right now.
So for you, like, the local community piece was a pretty big piece of getting back into KeyForge, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The local scene in LA, or at least of what I experienced, was not super active. I never seemed to know, like, when events were happening. I know that there were a couple shops like that did play, I think, weekly, but they're a little far from me. And LA, it's a pain in the butt to, you know, drive. Like, even if you're driving only half an hour, like, it's like only 7 miles, so it feels like it's longer than half an hour, because mm-hmm. you're sitting in traffic the whole time. But yeah, now, like, the shops that are around here are, you know, 25 minutes to 30 minutes, but there's no traffic, so for some reason it just feels like it's a less stressful time getting to the shop. Because I moved up here, I'm not able to you know, do the band thing as, you know, like, regularly now, so that frees up a lot of time as well for games.
Yep, the important things of life.
Absolutely, know? Yeah. So like, KeyForge and Marvel Champions are sort of the two that I'm most excited about right now. Although, I think KeyForge right now is trumping my excitement for Marvel Champions.
Yeah, same. I'm very excited about Marvel Champions, but this is... It's good. I like having, like, a competitive game in a co-op game. But.
Yeah, exactly. I think I lean towards enjoying, like, the game, like, as I'm playing better when it's a co-op game. But, like, being able to scratch that competitive itch every once in a while is nice.
Yeah, for sure. So we've been playing a lot on the Crucible. We've been playing a lot online, and you've also been playing in a couple chain bounds already, right?
Yeah, I played in two this past week. One last Tuesday and one yesterday. I got a bye the first round, so that was a bummer. And then
in both,
and then I went 1-1 after that. So I feel super super rusty, you know, at the game. Still trying to kind of learn, like, you know, like, what's good, what to expect. And now that there's a whole, like, I knew the cards in Call of the Archons pretty well, and, like, I know almost none of the cards in Age of Ascension, so it's a bit of a learning curve in that regard as well. And just kind of, like, learning, like, what the good cards are, what to watch out for, like, what kind of decks most people are bringing, and trying to figure out my decks as well, and, like, what I like to play, what decks that I have that are good, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's nothing like trying to learn Age of Ascension while Worlds Collide is also releasing. Yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, get back on the saddle and trying to figure the game out, basically.
Yep. So is there anything, any observations you've made about Age of Ascension, or anything you're learning in particular about the way the game has evolved since Call of the Archons? Anything that surprised you or kind of, you know, caught your eye?
It feels pretty similar. Like, the things that were good are still good. Like, stealing is obviously, like, still good and will always be good. I seem to underestimate how good, like, tempo is, or at least when I first got, like, my first few games, and I mean, especially that first tournament, like, how good tempo is, and just being able to stay ahead of your opponent and not, you know, like knocking keys off with Keyhammer, or, like, just capturing Amber so your opponent can't forge and you can, like, just staying ahead is so important in this game. At least that's what I've learned in the last week, or at least that's what I've taken away in the last week, whether or not that's true. But yeah, it just seems really important to get ahead and stay ahead, and you know, not let your opponent make comebacks and you know, force them to lose Amber or capture Amber that's hard to get back, or steal Amber, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think some of the house dynamics changed in Age of Ascension. Like, I know in Call to Archons, like, I would open up a deck and really hope that Untamed was a part of it. Mm-hmm. I loved Untamed in Call to Archons, and then now I open an Untamed deck in Age of Ascension, I'm like, oh crap. Like, it's just, like, I hate it. It just is not enjoyable.
I haven't learned that yet.
Yep.
Yeah. I have probably two or three called. I have, like, the Age of Ascension decks that we opened when we played that one day. And that's pretty much it. So I don't have hardly any experience with that set.
Yep. Well, lucky for you, the online Crucible is amazing, and we've been playing lots of games. It's been fun. Speaking of which, I did play. I had a 30-minute window today. And I hopped on the Crucible. Actually, I hopped on the Sanctimonious Discord and said, "Hey, anybody up for a game, any format? I don't care. I just want to play some Keyforge." And played someone that we played. They wanted to play Sealed Adaptive, which I've never done.
What's Adaptive?
And so Adaptive is when you bid chains for the right to play the deck if you both want to play the same deck. Got it. And so Sealed, so basically he pulled up in Discord, pulled up two random decks, and we both kind of put in spoiler text which deck we wanted to play, and then we ended up choosing opposite decks, which is very interesting because, like, a lot of times in those things, in those times, like, everyone wants to play the same, but we chose different decks, so we didn't end up bidding, which I kind of wanted to bid because I've never actually...
Yeah, just to sort of see how that worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we ended up playing two different decks and had a really fun game. He had a Grunt Buggy deck, but I had EMP Blast and my Mars House and blew up all his artifacts. And I had two Virtuous Works in Sanctum, which just feels
that's
like...
That's a lot of Amber.
Yeah. But then he had Glimmer and he played Glimmer and get Grunt Buggy back, and it was really funny. But ended up winning, but I was like, man, this format is really interesting. I would love to play more Sealed Adaptive, and I might suggest it to our local store too, because it takes a little bit of the feel bad out if you bring people to the store and say, hey, we're gonna play Sealed, and you're just gonna pay your $10 and get one deck, because if you ask them to pay $20 for two decks, mm-hmm. like, for some people, like, that's a little barrier of entry. So it's like, okay, we'll just pay $10 to get your one deck, but then we'll play Adaptive, so if you get a really bad deck,
yeah, you have the opportunity to play somebody else's deck, or even the playing field a little bit. Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool.
So I don't know. I'm not sure if, like, other people play Sealed Adaptive or if that's, like, a format at Vault Tours or something. But I really liked it, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And it also, like, challenges, like, your knowledge of the card database and what you're willing to go to with chains and all that. I do know, like, Adaptive is going to be a big part of, like, the Vault Warrior stuff that they announced, which I think is really good, because, like, the best players will have to figure out, you know, how to bid for the right deck, and you know, even knowing, like, how does my deck stack up against the other deck, and mm-hmm. I think it'll be really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then I just beat you in two games on the Crucible, just throwing that out there.
I got destroyed that last game.
Sorry, I had to say something.
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
But now you know what Tezmal does,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I definitely do.
You won't let Tezmal live that long. That's how we learn, people. All right, what else? Okay, so last Thursday I did have another Chainbound tournament. I mentioned in our... Well, I can't say last episode because you and Jay took last episode.
Yeah, that's right.
But a couple episodes ago, I mentioned we're doing weekly Chainbounds finally here in Lexington, and it's been awesome. just seeing guys come out. We had 8 guys show up, and I played a brand new Age of Ascension deck I have that I really liked. Has some like really awesome control elements to it. I'm going to pull it up. It's called Cedric Overwhelming Memorial Patron. So it's very generous fella.
I'm going to try and look it up.
Yes. I'll link it in Discord too so you can see.
So I can play along with the folks at home.
Absolutely. Maybe we should link it in the show notes too. But it's Brobnar Dis Shadows, which are 3 of my favorite houses in Age of Ascension, which is just really great. But in Brobnar has Brammo Drummernaut, which is pretty cool. I mentioned this last time. You can Drummernaut, play Fight Reaper, turn a giant creature to your hand, and then Brammo several times. It's got Coward's End with Life Word in Dis, which Life Word is the artifact that has the Omni effect. You sacrifice it. Your opponent can't play creatures on the next turn, so you can Coward's End and then pop the Life Word so they don't actually get to play creatures.
Oh, that's cool.
After you clear their board, which can be really nasty. It's got 2 Relentless Assaults, which is pretty great with Grok and Groggins and Calfine and Lollip. It ends up, a lot of times, Relentless Assault, it's a Brobnar action ready and fight with up to 3 different friendly creatures one at a time. This deck has such strong board control that a lot of times that just ends up meaning I get to reap 3 times with 3 different Brobnar guys because they don't have a board. But in Dis, it has Tezmal, it has 2 Poltergeists to destroy and control some artifacts. It just has some really good like control stuff. And then in Shadows, it's got Ronnie Wristclocks, it's got Bren the Fanatic, Little Nif, which Little Nif is awesome with Brobnar. This is the little 2 power shadow guy that has deploy, Omega, Elusive, and then after a neighbor of Little Nif is used to fight, steal one. So when your Brobnar guys are
between your Brobnar guys,
yeah,
nice.
You just drop them in there and then start wrecking face. And then when you can combine that with Relentless Assault, like there's been turns where I've stolen like 4 or 5.
Wow.
because of the way that it's just like it can be. But a lot of times, Little Nif ends up getting sucker punched or Relentless Whisper, and. So he doesn't live long, but if he does live long, he tends to do good work. Then it's got a treasure map, which is from Card of the Holocrons, very fun. And then this card, I didn't even know it existed until I opened it in this deck called Guard Disguise. It's a Shadows artifact that says action, sacrifice Guard Disguise. If your opponent has 3 amber or fewer, steal 3.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, you I think played this against me because this is starting to look familiar, and I'm pretty sure you stole 3 with it.
That's right, and because you went up right exactly to 3, so then I got, because a lot of times I'm only stealing like 2 or something with it just to make sure I can actually get some use out of it.
Yeah, well, and like you can sort of control it a little bit too with the the other stuff that you have in the deck with like if I end up with 5 or something like that, and you can somehow steal 2 and then. And then do that and steal the rest.
Yeah, for sure. But anyways, so I've done really well with it online, and then I went to the Chainbound and went 1-2. So that was a little disappointing. I was very shocked. I lost to the eventual winner. He had this nasty double Doorstep to Heaven deck. I was like well ahead of him. But he just had so much control that no matter what I got to, he'd get me down, and then finally got so much Sanctum out there that I couldn't stop him from forging that last key, which sucked. And then I lost to my buddy Marcus, who had a pretty sweet Mars deck from Age of Ascension, but it's kind of the same thing. I didn't have enough amber control. Like this deck has a ton of board control, but the amber control really left me like sad. The amber control is super specific. So like Guard Disguise, they have to have 3 or less. Bren the Fanatic, I can steal 3 if I can get rid of Bren the Fanatic, but sometimes that's really hard, and a lot of times I'm depending on like Coward's End from Brobnar to get rid of him. It's so anyway, so the whole thing is just it doesn't have the amber control I want. It has really great expected amber. So if you look at like the arc score on this deck, it's really, really strong. So it's got a SAS score of 85. The arc score is 69. Amber control, the A, and the arc score is only 5.75, which is pretty low. And then expected amber is 27, which is super high. And I, in my head, I was thinking, okay, expected amber is super high. That means I can kind of burst to a win and I don't have to worry about my amber control as much. But when games would go super long or they'd pull me off of like with doorstep or too much to protect, it would just wreck me. And so I ended up losing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just my big takeaway from that chain bound was maybe like I don't value the amber control as much as I should. Like I maybe overvalue the extra amber pips and expected amber, and I need to take a moment and like spend some more time looking at my decks that have greater amber control, so I don't get embarrassed in, you know, a tournament like that.
Well, it probably depends a lot on the makeup of the deck as a whole, right? Like if it is a deck that wants to just gain amber as quickly as possible and like not really care what your opponent's doing, like if you're expecting amber super high and like that's your game plan, like you probably don't really care that much about controlling your opponent's amber. So I don't know.
Well, but that's what I thought with my expected amber at 27. That's pretty high.
Yeah, but like you have to also like consider how fast you get that amber, and like in a game, I guess like how fast can you expect to gain that compared to like how fast your opponent can gain amber like at their max, you know, speed, let's say. So like if you can gain like 4 or 5 amber a turn just playing the cards that you're gonna play, and you know, like if you, I don't know, like in my head, like if you have a deck that's that fast and you only have like, you know, a few cards that control your opponent's amber, but you use them at the right time just to like put like set them behind a little bit in tempo, I don't know, I think it could work. The more I like interface with the various deck rating systems, I understand their value, but I also like, you know, like understand that it can't see like the full picture, and like as good as it can be, like it's never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I personally like don't put a ton of weight into the ratings, like past a certain point. It's like it's really good to see like that information like at a glance and see like, hey, like
sure,
maybe I should approach the deck like this way, and that'll kind of speed up the process of determining whether or not like the deck's good or like it clicks with you. But I don't know if I would use that as just like a, you know, a metric for whether or not the deck is good or not, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's totally fair, and I think the people who created the rating systems would say the same thing. I think mm-hmm. they would agree with you. I think it does a great job of like opening my eyes to decks that I might look at first glance and be like, oh, I'm not really interested. Like, mm-hmm. there's a Call of the Archons deck that I played maybe twice and just kind of threw aside, not really thinking about it, and then pulling up the rating system again after the tournament, I started looking at some of the ratings on some of my decks, and I realized, you know, like the amber control in this deck is 11 and expected amber is 26. I'm like, that, you know, that's significant. Like, that's high. It has a lower SAS rating, but so it basically got me looking at this deck, and I played it a few times. I think I played against you a couple times, and I played against a couple other guys. It's called Jekton Jaka, the Warlock of Dreams, by the way.
That's a great name.
And I was like, oh gosh, this is really solid. And so in my planning, I've got a Prime Championship November 2nd.
Nice.
Which is like the first day that they can do Primes, which is really exciting to like do one on the first weekend.
Yeah.
And so, and it's just solo Archon. It's just bring a deck and just let's throw down. And so I'm sitting here trying to think like, oh gosh, like what deck do I bring to that? Like, I don't know. Like, so I'm kind of in that phase of like, what do I value in these decks and what do I want to bring to a tournament like that? Mm-hmm. So, which is fun. I really enjoy the process of it. But, so yeah, I think the ratings just helps you evaluate the strengths of decks, and it is not by any means like the, the end of the discussion. I think if anything, it's just the start of the discussion about each deck. And, so yeah.
Yeah.
But with Worlds Collide dropping, it's like, who knows what that's going to do to the ratings of the first two sets. And
yeah,
you know, like, I think that's going to be really interesting.
Is Worlds Collide going to be, legal for your,
I don't think so, because I think it's supposed to release in November, and then our prime is November 2nd. So I feel
probably won't be ready in time.
If they do the whole 10 days after release or whatever, I think that kind of limits them, but
yeah.
I don't know.
How many prime championships do you have near you?
There's two within an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably only get to go to one, because we got the baby due next month. So
gotcha.
So like the other one is like 2 weeks after the baby's born. I'm like, I can't. There's no way I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's pretty much like this one is maybe the only one I'll be able to go to. We'll see.
Gotcha. But,
yeah. So yeah. Anyways.
Nice.
All right. We'll keep going. The big news in the KeyForge community in the last week is that our good friends over at Target decided to screw the release dates and release Worlds Collide to everybody. So happy October, everybody.
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
I do like to think my birthday is at the end of October, so I do like to think to myself that Target did this for my birthday.
Yeah, 100%. They did that for your birthday.
So I don't know who told Target that it was my birthday month, but I appreciate that. Thanks, everybody.
I did, actually.
Oh, what? All right. Well, I forgive you for that. That episode you and Jay released. Then. Yes.
So have you gotten any?
Well, all right. So my local Targets here do not sell KeyForge. They did for a while, and I bought it, and then they just stopped selling it, which I don't know. I don't understand, like, why
they made that decision.
Yeah. But there are Targets like an hour from here that were selling them, and I was trying to figure out a way to go, and
that's too far.
Well, I didn't care. I was about to road trip it and just make a thing out of it. But it was like, go to my local Chainbound event here or go and drive an hour to go pick up this stuff. I was like, I'm going to go play this Chainbound event.
Makes
so,
sense. I think that
so
was
I did not. But I do have to confess, Mike, I did hop online to Target.com yesterday, and I put an order in. It's
nice.
It's in the mail. It should be here tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm very excited.
That is exciting.
It was like free shipping on orders over 50. I was like, okay, I twist my arm. I guess I have to order two now.
All right. That's awesome.
So how about you?
I went today and I found some at a Target that was about 25 minutes away. So I lucked out. They had two left and I got both of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was exciting. I am a little, concerned about the supposedly random distribution of decks, because in one of my boxes both decks were Logos Dis Untamed, and in my other box it was Brobnar Dis Shadows and Brobnar Dis Saurian. So
yeah, that's
not super that's random, but yeah. I'm pretty excited about the decks that I opened. There's some pretty fun looking stuff. I did not get any anomalies, unfortunately, but I got this card that's really sweet. He's this like disc guy, and his name is like Ortanu the Chained.
Oh my gosh, stop. I can't with you right now. For those who are not following, we texted about this earlier because Jay and Mike were in our little group chat on our iMessage, and they were like, oh dude, that Arutano guy is pretty cool. I was like, guys, reprint.
Hey, he looks cool.
It's fine. It's fine. Thanks. Really thank funny. You to all of our wormhole listeners for persevering.
Okay. Joking aside, there are a couple of really cool things that I love about the set so far. Like the brew cards, like in this deck I have Shorty's Brew and then Mega Shorty. But then in the deck is also regular Shorty. So you can see like the art on, you know, on them is different based on like, you know, which one the mega one is. And the mega one just like looks, you know, like a little bit more fiery. It's just awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's so cool. That.
Yeah.
Like to actually like procedurally change the art on a card. Like that is not something that has been done in a game ever.
Yeah, no, that's what I think we talked about a little bit two episodes ago, but I mean just the possibilities for what can happen in KeyForge, like every time they talk about something new, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they figured that out.
Yeah, it's just awesome. Like that, yeah. Like it gets me the most excited for the game. Like that is like one of the coolest things and like one of the reasons why KeyForge is you know, exciting.
Yep. Yeah. Which, yeah, I love. I noticed in another deck you got another brew card, the
Alaka's brew. Yeah, Alaka's brew. That's how you pronounce that.
with the Mega Laka.
Yep, Mega Laka. And then in that same deck, I also got another fixed rarity card called Demon's Bane, which is a discard that's just play, destroy a demon creature. I have no idea what makes that pop up. In one of my other decks, I have Beast's Bane, which is like the same thing, but destroy a beast. And like, I can't figure out like why that card is in that deck, or like what makes it show up there. It's super interesting.
I just saw a card for the first time. I have not seen in one of your decks. It's a Brobnar artifact called Ragwarg.
Yeah, that's a cool card. It looks like a little like wolf statue kind of thing.
Yes.
But yeah, so it gives you an amber when you play it, and then it says after a creature reaps, if it's the first time a creature has reaped this turn, deal 2 damage to it.
I mean, that's nasty. It's like that's
pretty nasty. Yeah, like against a deck that's, you know, trying to play a bunch of small creatures and get cool reap effects, it's pretty good against that. In this deck, I have a bunch of really big Brobnar creatures, so I'm not that sad to reap with them and make them take 2 damage.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, there's definitely some really interesting art in this set with like I don't know, just random stuff like the Demon's Bane has like the trap with
the chessboard, like
it's like a chessboard. Like what is that?
like it's enticing a demon to come play chess because apparently demons just love playing chess, and then when the demon goes to play chess, it clamps down on it and eats it. And then the other card that I have is Beast's Bane, and I think that's like some meat in the trap, and I imagine each trap is different art that's trying to attract whatever it's meant to kill.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I love the new set coming out, just being able to like look at these cards for the first time and be like, what the crap do these things do, and how the heck are we gonna figure out this set? Like that's like Fangtooth Cavern, another artifact from Untamed, at the end of your turn destroy the least powerful creature. Like wow, that is quite the passive effect right there.
Yeah. It's I don't know, there's so many cool and interesting cards. I'm just super super excited to play with them, excited to play with the new houses, excited to play with Harbinger of Doom because the art on it is amazing. If you guys don't know what Harbinger of Doom is yet, just like look up the art and just be delighted.
It's creepy. I'm not gonna even lie. That is
extremely creepy. But it's also I don't know. I find it pretty funny.
Can we try to, like, for those who have not seen this, let's try to describe what's happening here.
So
okay?
it's like a demon with a happy looking mask and a balloon that looks like it's got like a turtle on it, and then a kid that's like running towards it, like super excited.
like
nothing bad's gonna happen. But when Harbinger of Doom is destroyed, you destroy each creature.
I mean,
love it. It's great.
I am very disturbed looking at this. Is that a turtle or maybe that's a Saurian creature? You know, they're just trying to.
I think it's a turtle. I think it's the kid from that video who says I like turtles. It's that kid.
I'm very disturbed. Do you remember there was a many episodes of Wormhole Get Away? There was a King Potato. There was something about clowns grooming.
I forgot what it was, but yep, I remember.
I don't
that
know,
well.
But this is literally what I pictured right here. Yep. Like clowns grooming for. This is terrible. We need to end this segment immediately.
All right. Do you wanna wrap this bad boy up?
Let's
do
it.
We'll do some King Potato.
We need to move on to our segment, King Potato. I was very disappointed in you and Jay and your King Potato that you did. So I need to fix this. There was no theatrics around it. I was very disappointed.
No, there. Yeah, I think. We, you know, it's been so long, we just forgot how to do it.
Super disappointed. So we're going to do this right. Okay, so Mike, I'm going to give you a deck right now, a deck name, and you have to figure out what three houses are in this deck based on the name.
Okay.
And then I'm going to make fun of you for your terrible, terrible guess. Okay?
Excellent.
And I need you to explain why you're choosing each house, by the way.
Of course, of course.
Okay, this deck is called The Hungrily Oiled Goblin of Ouch Chop.
Okay, I love it.
The hungrily oiled goblin of Ouch Chop.
That is a name.
It's so good.
That is a name.
It's very good. It's an Age of Ascension deck, if that helps you.
No, it doesn't help me at all. Okay. hungrily oiled something of Ouch
goblin.
Chop?
It's a goblin of Ouch Chop.
Okay. All right. Untamed Brobnar Logos. Untamed because he's hungry. Brobnar has some goblins in it, and the oiled is like a, you know, like robots and machines get oiled sometimes. So logos, I guess, for that part. Even though I know that that's not like how you make a deck name in Keyforge, but I'm still gonna go with it.
Well, Mike, I think you'll be really happy to know that you
did. I get one. Did I get zero?
Got one right.
Yes. Maintaining my streak of getting one right on every single one.
The goblin, I think you got the goblin from Brobnar.
Okay.
But it is Brobnar Mars and Shadows, of course, Mike. That was super clear. I don't know how you missed that.
Of course.
The algorithm is super clear when it comes to some of these things. So
I can't believe I got that wrong, man.
The hungry and oiled part, I'm looking at the deck list to try to figure out like where and
if anybody's gonna use some like oil slick, I imagine that's gonna be shadows.
So, shadows, yeah, yep, sure. Yep, that's fair. So maybe Mars is super hungry.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not invading Earth, they're just super hungry. They just need some food and
exactly.
They thought they could hang out. Fine.
Yeah, but really they just need to eat.
Yep, obviously. There we go. Solved it. There's your algorithm.
Awesome.
Oh, well, Mike, it was fun to record a Wormhole episode with you again. This is great. Maybe we'll do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
Well, people, if you're not already, be sure to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook. Wild Wormhole. You can give us a rating on iTunes and refer Keyforge to all of your best Keyforge friends. And in closing, I'd love to leave you with some flavor text. I noticed you and Jay forgot the flavor text in the last episode. I was getting super disappointed in you,
yep,
but it's fine.
We did.
It's okay. This one comes from a Worlds Collide card, a Saurian, a dinosaur called Grim Locust Ducks. Flavor Text says he's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, okay? So, and that's important to know because he says, "Come, let me taste your metal." Metal, M-E-T-T-L-E. Do you get it? Do you get the joke?
I think I get it.
It's like your metal, your bravery. How brave are you? But then he's also hungry. He's gonna eat you. Isn't that hilarious?
That's just amazing.
It's classic. Any final thoughts, Mike?
No. Thanks for powering through this, everybody.
Awesome. Well, people, thanks for listening, and may all of your wild wormholes be absolutely terrible. See you next time.
Bye.